As you've been doing some counseling, over the years, with this particular addiction, I'm sure you've had some some heart-wrenching situations that, keep you up at night. What's the damage, that can be done by this seeming, what some would call a secret sin?
Yeah, I think the thing that really is the biggest damage is that if it progresses and if there are no stopgaps in place, inevitably the individuals continue to move towards more. Now, it isn't that, on Tuesday I look at pornography and on Saturday I'm leaving my wife. Okay, I think sometimes we want to get alarmist, but what it really begins to do is it causes the individual to begin to drift. And usually what we see is that the progression is, I get involved in this secret sin and I feel bad about it, so then I start to get secretive. So I start to close myself off. I close myself off from my spouse. I close myself off from others, because if I'm in a small group with you, Martin, and I don't want you to ask questions, then pretty soon I can't make it to the small group anymore because I don't want people to ask me. So all of a sudden what we start seeing is that individual moves into isolation over time, and in that isolation they begin to, now they don't have any other support, so the one thing that gives them comfort is the pornography. So they go back to that and begin to drift further and further away. I sit with Christian folks who are really, really awesome believers who have ended up in affairs. And as we sit and as we start to dialogue, what we talk about is the progressive stepping away from what living that right Christian life. And as they continue to drift away, that hardening of the heart occurs. And then they engage and they get in those behaviors where they swore they would never be. Doesn't necessarily happen overnight, but that's the hardest part of it. I think it's the sadness, it's the isolation, in some cases it's the affair, it's the damage that it does to the marriage, because in a lot of cases the wife may know, or the wife may be the keeper of the secret, so then she's angry and feeling awful, then we damage her self-esteem and her self-worth. What also happens is that the parents engaging in that inappropriate behavior, they're not going to talk to their kids about it because they don't want to be a hypocrite. So now all of a sudden we're not talking about these issues with our kids, and we see this progressive damage to the very foundation of our family, which is our marriage and our relationship with our children. But most important, what happens is, God's relationship with us never changes. A relationship with us never changes, but we can turn off our receiver. And that's the saddest thing, that individuals, because of their guilt and shame, can really begin to believe the lie and doubt that Christ's grace is sufficient enough for this one, and close off and begin to turn away from him. Doesn't affect their relationship with him, but what we begin to do is we click off the phone and we're not able to really stay in right connection with him. So whether the person cheats or not, the ongoing struggle of this really corrupts the foundation of their family and the relationship with Christ.
Right. So Paul, are there particular signs that we as a spouse or a parent could be looking for, and what should we do if we see those signs?
Yeah, I think with a spouse, large amounts of time in isolation, being on the computer late at night, it's just not a good idea to be on the computer late at night. And now occasionally, because I work on projects, that's just part of what I do. And so inevitably, I would rather sacrifice sleep than sacrifice some family time. So if there's occasion when I need to be on the computer late at night, then we have a dialogue about that. That, hey, I'm on a project and I'm working on a project, so I'm going to be on and I'm going to be online late. So if we have a spouse that's doing that on an ongoing, regular basis, that isn't time to be alarmist, but that's just time to say, hey, I've noticed that you're on the computer a lot late at night. What's going on? And to start to have that conversation, to say, are you struggling with this? Is this a problem for you? If it is, I love you and we want to get help. So seeing lots of times in isolation, shutting the door when they're on the computer, not having a computer that's accessible, locking the office, spending lots of time with a locked office, being real secretive with what's going on with their computer, having no history. If you look in the history bar and there's never a history where it's always clear, that's an indicator, that, wait a minute, why isn't there ever a history of where you're going and what's going on? It's those kind of things, lots amount of time in isolation, secrecy, defensiveness when asked about the computer, or being surprised if they walk in, walking in and instantly having your spouse close the computer screen. Again, those are indicators, and a lot of times we don't want to see those indicators. But what I find is that when I sit with the spouse, they go back and they identify those, but they wanted to excuse them. I'm not saying that we move it to a confrontation, but we start to ask. With kids, it's a similar thing. Lots of time in isolation, spending time away from others, being really secretive about their internet activities. I'm a big believer in this program called Covenant Eyes. They're a company. I don't work for them. I receive no compensation from them. They receive money from me because we use their product. Covenant Eyes is a great resource, and there are other resources like that. What happens is everywhere the individual goes on the internet is monitored, whether it's an appropriate site or an inappropriate site. There's ways to check internet search patterns. You know, when are you on? What sites do you most visit? Having things in that are designed for prevention are probably one of the best things that we can do. So then we don't have to worry about signs. We have computer systems at home that are very, very safe. You know, most folks who are involved in hunting or having any kind of weapons in the house would have a gun lock or a gun safe. They wouldn't think anymore of not doing that. But we're using our computers, it's the same thing. We need to have a mechanism in place that'll help keep those safe.
So can you go into a little bit more detail about how those programs work? You said Covenant Eyes, you know, covenant is a promise. Where is the promise made, and how does that work into the software?
Absolutely. The promise is made that what happens is we engage in a commitment. I've got a group of guys that we get each other's internet reports. And how Covenant Eyes works, the kind of more perfect design of it would be there would be two or three folks for the young male, what we used to do first, you know, us growing up dads. You know, dad would have two or three folks that, two or three men that he has an accountability with. And that they would get reports on where he goes and what he does on the internet. In addition, he'd get theirs. So now when they're meeting or when they're in conversation, they can have some conversations about where did you go and why did this happen and what went on. It isn't, oh, wow, a gotcha. It's, hey, you know what, let's talk about this. Did you drift? And if you drifted, let's talk about it. So a very safe way to have a conversation. Great way for the kids. Each kid gets their own logon. If they're going to log on to the computer because the software is set up that you have to log in, child logs in, mom or dad gets a report on where they go and what they look at. And again, you can sit down and have that similar conversation. You know, our intent here with our boys, they're moving and getting older, that as they, you know, in this next year or two, the three of us will just be each, you know, we'll be a part of our own accountability. They'll get my report, I'll get theirs. And again, we're having a conversation about being safe on the internet.